My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Coming up on Heard on the Street, coming to terms with Facebook's gargantuan size and why nothing can stop the Federal Reserve.
Stay ahead of the headlines. Stay on top of the markets. This is Heard on the Street from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello and welcome to Heard on the Street, the podcast. We are the Wall Street Journal's home for commentary on all things financial all over the world. Reporting from London this week, I'm Alex Frangos. I'm joined by my colleague Steve Russolillo in New York. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Yeah, a bit later, we are going to talk about Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and the gobs of money being made on our social media addictions. But first, let's bring in our colleague Justin Lehart to talk about what I'm going to call the quiet before the Fed storm. Hey, Justin, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Pretty good. The Fed sat on its hands this week, but gave every indication it would continue lifting interest rates at its next meeting in June. That is despite signs that the real economy is actually not exactly going gangbusters. Justin, walk us through the dynamic that could keep the Fed raising rates.
Yeah, I mean, so first thing, first quarter was pretty miserable for the economy, right? 0.7% growth. And the second quarter doesn't look like it. You know, everyone thinks the second quarter is going to be better, but it's not off to a great start so far. We had kind of lousy car sales. Manufacturing activity looks like it's coming off. So the question is, like, why is the Fed going to keep on raising rates? Because we're so used to, like, every time, you know, something bad happens, the Fed just,
yeah,
you know,
they've looked for every excuse in the book. Like, yeah. China has a little downturn and they say, oh, we better not raise rates.
Yeah.
And the party goes on. But what makes you think they're going to be persistent this time?
Well, things are different this time. So first thing, like,
oh, things are different.
Oh, yeah, they are. Well, they're different in the way that they used to be. So there. How's that? A retreat. First thing, when you look around the world, the kind of worries about crisis, they're really diminished. And a lot of that has to do with the global economy. It's firming up. So away from the U.S., things are looking better, even in Europe, right?
Especially in Europe. Europe's grown faster than the U.S. two quarters in a row, I'll have you know.
Right. So remember that we used to always be worried about, like, a European financial crisis? Well, now we're not quite so worried about that. And we're not worried about a lot of the sort of emerging market stuff that we were worried about exactly, you know, right, about a year ago. So that's off the table. So you don't have that sort of, like, skittish, you know, oh my God, if we raise and things are fragile that, you know, the world's going to fall apart. That's not there anymore. The other thing is, look, the unemployment rate is really low now and the economy is moving really slow. Yet we're still adding lots and lots of jobs, right? So that basically tells you, you know, the economy doesn't have to grow very fast to generate enough jobs to bring the unemployment rate down lower and to start to stir wage inflation.
And along those lines, too, we're also seeing inflation pick up more than we've seen in quite a long time. So you put a healthy jobs picture with a rising inflation environment and the Fed should be raising, right? Even if U.S. growth is so low.
Yeah. So they're not going to be sort of knocked off course just because the economy is a little slower. They actually think that the economy, that sort of the what people call potential, which is basically how fast the economy has to go to keep inflation at the right level and employment at the right level. They think potential growth is 1.9%. So that's weak. Right,
and which is basically what we've had throughout this whole expansion.
Yeah, there's a reason they think that. They used to think it was 2.6% or 2.7%, and they moved it way down. And a lot of economists are even lower.
Well, but like, Donald Trump thinks potential growth is like 4%. So how much does that play into the Fed's persistence that they're going to raise because they know that on the fiscal side, on the, you know, Congress and spending, we had to have the spending bill this week, that there's just going to be more stimulus from that side. Do you think that plays into the calculus at all as well?
Maybe on the margin, like they say, but you know, we got to be a little Missouri about, you know, tax, the, you know, sort of the tax plans here. I mean, show me, right? I mean, they're not even there yet, right? They're still, you know, they're doing health care now, and, you know, that's going to push. So, you know, I don't know that that's something that the Fed's going to sort of think about. And for sure, I mean, even though businesses seem pretty excited about all the tax cut stuff, they didn't act on it, right? I mean, we saw the first quarter was kind of lousy, right? It doesn't seem like people are, like, going out and buying a ton of equipment because they think there's going to be a tax cut, right? They want one, but they're going to wait to buy a ton of equipment until they get one.
Well, this gets into the whole hard data versus soft data debate
in
the sense that we've seen all these confidence surveys have soared since the election. But the hard data, as you're mentioning, the spending, the actual what's really happening in the economy has not been as gangbusters.
Yeah, it's sort of the same old. Same old.
And yet the stock market is doing pretty well. You know, we have the NASDAQ going above 6,000, you know, corporate profits, you know, to bring us up to date. We're, you know, kind of halfway through earnings season. I mean, what, you know, this slow growth economy, how is it doing for investors?
Well, corporate profits are doing really well. But let's remember, right, that the S&P 500, it's not a bunch of completely 100% domestically focused companies, right? I mean, we're talking, the U.S. stock market earns a lot of money overseas, right? Take a look. You don't have sort of the dollar headwind that you had before. And, you know, like you said, Europe's doing better. U.S. companies make a lot of money in Europe, right? So you go from not so good to better, right? That matters a lot. So a lot of this profit growth is coming from overseas.
So, Justin, take us back to the Fed here. Through the rest of 2017, what's the trajectory for future rate hikes? Are we looking at two, three more, four more? What do you think?
Well, they say they've projected two. And investors are basically saying less than two. They're basically saying, like, you know, one and 50% chance of another one, right? And there could actually be three. Right.
I think the thing that's scary to me has nothing to do with the rate hikes, whether it's two or three or one, is what comes next, which is shrinking the balance sheet. You know, this is the thing that central banks just don't do very often. Maybe have they ever? And how is the market going to react? And the market's gotten used to rate increases. The stock market can go up and the, you know, interest rates are going up. That's kind of we're at a good place. But when the Fed starts letting these bonds roll off, that's the question I have. Like, what is that going to do? How are investors going to handle that? And that's, you know, maybe toward the end of this year. What do you think, Justin?
Well, I guess it really depends on how fast they roll off. And the thing here is, right, so the Fed is no central bank. Central banks have never had balance sheets like they have now. And they've never, they've never had to roll them off. And the problem that they face is it's really hard to calibrate, right? Like, you don't actually know what too much is. You don't know what too little is, and you don't know what too much is. So what they're going to do is too little, right? You're going to start, let's just do a little bit and see what happens. Let's do a little bit more and see what happens. So, right, the market should be able to handle that, but, I mean, it does inject a little uncertainty into the situation, right?
Yeah, important stuff indeed, Justin. Thanks for that. We're going to have to take a break. And coming up, talking about Facebook and its gargantuan size. How much bigger can it get?
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
For more insights, enable the Wall Street Journal skill on any device with Amazon Alexa. Get all of our podcasts, as well as the latest news and market updates. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously. Stay ahead of the headlines. Stay on top of the markets. This is Heard on the Street from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome back to Heard on the Street, the podcast. I'm Alex Frangos. We are going to debate the 500-pound social media advertising gorilla in our midst, Facebook. It's been 5 years since its IPO, and it's getting toward five times larger than it was then. Investors just keep thinking it will get bigger and bigger. I have with me, Heard on the Street's Dan Gallagher in San Francisco and Steve Russolillo in New York. Hey, guys. Thanks for joining.
Of course. Thank
you. Good to be here.
Dad, Facebook this week reported its earnings. It was an interesting report. I want you to kind of walk us through, but also, you know, take us back 5 years and you know, quickly bring us up to date of what's happened, you know, with Facebook over that time.
Well, I remember covering the IPO about five years ago, and the funny thing that was going on at the time was how they were increasing the size in the process of trying to do the IPO, and that was so controversial. It was such a big deal, and then it went out the door, and actually the stock kind of was underwater for about a year on its in its first year on the market. You know, that's well in the rearview mirror, and now this company is now the fifth most valuable company in the world.
It's worth $100 billion at the IPO, and now it's like $450 billion.
I think technically in the IPO is a little under $100 billion, okay, based on FactSet. It's but it's now over 400. It actually passed ExxonMobil earlier this year. I didn't know that till yesterday when I was looking at some stats, and that's pretty. I mean, a company that's, you know, been on the market for 5 years passes a company that's what its roots back go back a century or so, and actually has like seven times the revenue. It's pretty. I mean, this story over 5 years has been pretty amazing.
Yeah, and not just Exxon, but also Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. I mean, it's just stunning to think that this company has grown at the pace that it's grown at. And along those same lines, though, in the earnings that they reported yesterday, the revenue growth of 49%. I mean, we're talking about a company that, as you mentioned, Dan, is the fifth largest company by market value, and it has revenue growth of 49%. I mean, it's astounding.
Yeah, Dan.
Yeah,
I mean,
think that's why they command the premium they are, given their size, is the growth they keep delivering. For Facebook, it all comes down to users, and it's actually their key competitive advantage. Because for all the talk about, you know, Snapchat and how much they're growing and how much they might be a threat down the road, you know, Facebook has about a quarter of the Earth's population checking in once a month. It added more than 500 million of those just in the last 3 months. So as it keeps getting bigger, I mean, that's the benefit when you're a social network. It actually does matter a lot. And it's hard to, you know, when there's alternatives out there that might offer some type of activity or task a little better, you still kind of fall back on this point that there's this critical mass on Facebook that's very difficult to dislodge.
But investors love it for the growth, right? It's the critical mass and the growth keeps on happening. But Dan, you have to be somewhat skeptical, right? That, you know, there's just not that many people on Earth left to, you know, bring in, and the ones that you can bring in maybe are not as valuable as users as, you know, high income Americans and Europeans who are all basically on the network at this point. So, you know, is there going to be a period where Facebook needs to kind of plateau and consolidate, and investors get used to it not being a, you know, 50% revenue growth kind of company?
Oh, I think that that's always going to come up at some point with any company. So, you know, I think there's a lot of ad share they still have to gain. So I think they can still deliver pretty strong revenue growth, even if the usage growth starts to slow down a bit. But, you know, yeah, that's a point in time that's always inevitable for any of these tech companies. I think one thing that was actually kind of smart on their part, though, is I remember, if we go again back to the IPO, they got a lot of criticism for buying Instagram at the price they did at the time. And that turns out to have been a pretty smart purchase, because what that did is it kind of gave people an alternative, people who may not be interested in being on Facebook to discuss things like politics or news or whatever, but want to, you know, essentially want to share pictures. Instagram's a great tool for that, and now Facebook gets that growth. That thing is growing very strongly.
Yeah, Steve, you wrote in the Head of the Tape column this week that it has 700 million users. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
So Facebook can kind of plateau in terms of user growth, but it's got Instagram coming up behind, also growing. So they're, you know, they might be cannibalizing some, but they have a platform that's also kind of in a younger stage, growing very quickly. I mean, Dan or Steve, what is, does that give the stock kind of legs to keep on in this kind of growth you know, period?
Well, I think so, because if you look at, and not just Instagram too, but look at Messenger and WhatsApp, I mean, all these are Facebook properties that Facebook is finally starting to monetize, and there's tremendous potential and opportunity there. But if you look at something like Instagram, you mentioned the 700 million users that they have, which is a crazy high number in and of itself, but they also have 200 million people using the Instagram Stories feature. And that was created less than a year ago, and is essentially a direct Snapchat competitor. I mean, a rival. I mean, it's essentially what Snapchat is. And Facebook just created that, and in less than a year, already Facebook has more people on that than Snapchat has on their platform. So it just goes to show, I mean, Facebook is dominating right now, and yes, growth will slow, and they have warned and sort of telegraphed that growth will slow in the back half of this year, so investors have understand that right now. And yes, there's only so much that Facebook can keep adding new users, because when you have, as you guys mentioned, 25% of the world's population, there's really only so much more you can grow there. But it seems like there are other growth drivers that will continue to, that should continue to propel the stock and the company here in the future.
But Dan, I want to get back at this issue of, like, when is this plateau? I mean, you look back at Google, which was, you know, similarly huge and, you know, a growth stock. And then it hit these periods in, you know, like 2010, 2011. And then I think again in 2014, where the stock kind of didn't go anywhere, even though, you know, it was still, one of these, you know, giant Silicon Valley companies with a big moat around it. And it was still making a lot of money, but investors kind of got bored with it, let's say. I mean, doesn't that, I just feel like the timing of that is going to be really important for Facebook. I mean, Facebook's shares might not fall 25%, but we could get into this period where they stop growing. And maybe is that soon? Maybe is this, like, as Steve said, is this in the second half of this year when investors kind of wake up?
Well, I think they've warned that they're gonna that the ad growth isn't gonna be as rapid in the second growth of the year, because they're at the point where they don't want to cram the ad load so much and hurt the experience. So I think you may see some of that. I think the thing with Google, I think, and that especially in that time period, was it wasn't that the growth wasn't good. It was the fact that the company was spending so much money on so many different projects, and there was a lot of questions at that point. What's this going to be beyond a search engine we go to on our computers? You know, and what's the future of that? And in that time, you know, the Android's become a major feature. YouTube has become a major feature. They've actually found ways to extend their growth and their dominance, and that's why that stock has kind of revived. I got to think. I think with Facebook. And the risk with Facebook, I think, is more long-term than near-term, because Facebook is trying to grow into something beyond simply just a social network. It's actually kind of one of the world's most dominant communications platforms now. And there's risks that go with that, as we've been seeing. And they're trying to get on top of that in ways, but there's – I think we're only at the beginning. I mean, they said yesterday how they're going to hire 3,000 people just to monitor content, because they don't want, you know, these horrible things that sometimes people have used that platform for. I think it's probably just the beginning of what Facebook is going to be trying to do to, in a way, kind of manage this beast that's created.
Yeah, political and regulatory risk. We're going to have to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to take a poll of both of you. Can Facebook be a $1 trillion company in another 5 years?
News on the go. Whenever you want it, wherever you want it. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously. Stay ahead of the headlines. Stay on top of the markets. This is Heard on the Street from the Wall Street Journal.
Dan and Steve, I want to wrap things up with a kind of a snap question for you. You know, Facebook, as we said, has gone from, you know, around $100 billion company to over $450 billion company in just about 5 years. 5 years from now, can it be a $1 trillion company? Dan, what do you think?
In theory, sure. I got a feeling that I think between this point and that point, there is going to be a lot of challenges they have to face. And obviously they think they're going to hit some of the things we've already talked about in this call about, you know, natural rates of where they can grow their users and how much they can do. So I don't know. I don't know if it's like psychologically that market cap will be achievable at least in 5 years, but we'll see. They're going to be racing. They're for sure going to be racing companies like Google and Amazon and Apple to get to that point.
Steve, what about you? You can't say, I don't know. It's got to be a yes or a no. I don't think
a trillion in 5 years now. Yeah. But I think they'll keep going up.
I would agree with that. I say no. We've seen in the past here with other companies that you get to a certain size, whether it be Apple topping the $700 billion mark a few years ago, and then obviously it's had the stock had some rough challenges, over several different time periods, and now again it's on the ascent. So, but you get too big at a certain point, and investors start worrying about a lot of the long term issues. With a lot of these companies, and we've mentioned it with Facebook, some of the long-term challenges that they have. So, yes, will they inevitably be a trillion-dollar company? I'll say yes, but in 5 years, probably not.
Okay, we're going to have to end it there. That wraps things up for this week's Heard on the Street podcast. Please join us every week for the latest in global investing. For more, please check us out at wsj.com/heard. That's wsj.com/heard. You can also email us with your comments, suggestions, or questions at heardpodcast@wsj.com. From London, I'm Alex Frangos. On behalf of the rest of the Heard on the Street team, thanks for listening.
Follow the Wall Street Journal on your favorite podcast app. Search WSJ on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and any Amazon Alexa device. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.